From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Abby Larico. Iranian-American Dorsa Durakhshani is a medical student at Mizzou, but she says it's been hard to focus on her studies since the civilian protests in Iran in late December.
For people in Iran who are living under the fear of, am I going to die today from my government or am I going to die today from a bomb? That I can't comprehend.
She shares what it's been like to watch the U.S. and Israeli war on Iran from Missouri. It's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The NAACP St. Louis chapter is alleging medical neglect at the city jail and wants the city circuit attorney's office to investigate. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, NAACP leaders say people's medical records aren't being sent to the hospital when they are.
Demetria McDowell died January 31st from a medical emergency while in custody at the St. Louis City Justice Center. 22 detainees have died since 2020 while in custody there, 11 of them medical emergencies. The deaths have pushed the NAACP to call on the circuit attorney's office to investigate. Adolphus Pruitt is the chapter's president.
Based on our investigation, emergency personnel at the hospitals say that when they get that patient from the jail, that's all they get. Nothing about that individual's medical history transferred with them.
The group also asked the U.S. Justice Department to examine systemic issues that might have led to the deaths. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Executive Sam Page is fighting a political maneuver that would strip him of his power while he's out of the country. Page is planning a trade mission to London later this month. A county ordinance would transfer his power to Council Chairwoman Rita Days anytime he travels overseas. Page calls the ordinance unconstitutional and says the county charter requires the county's executive authority be determined by voters. He filed a lawsuit yesterday against the council and Chairwoman Days.
St. Louis County residents voted on who would be in charge of the executive branch. The charter answers who's in charge. The intentional chaos that's been created by the county government on a daily basis has to stop.
A judge will hear the case today. Days did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney's Office issued charges in a more than three decades old sexual assault case involving a minor. As St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports, this is the second case pursued by the PD's cold case unit since it was founded last year.
Miguel Canizares of Spring, Texas, was charged with two counts of sodomy and one count of sexual abuse in the first degree last week. The victim was 14 years old when she was assaulted outside Parkway North High School after a soccer game in 1992. County Prosecutor Melissa Price Smith says advances in DNA technology have allowed the department to reopen cold cases.
And we're here today to send a message to the victims and families of victims on unsolved cases. We have not forgotten you.
Other police departments across the country are investigating cases that may be linked to Canizares since he left St. Louis in 2015. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's colleges and universities could receive the same amount of state dollars as they did last fiscal year. That's because the Senate Appropriations Committee chose to revert to Governor Mike Kehoe's request for higher education dollars. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports, that means a rejection of the House's higher education funding plan.
The Senate version gets rid of the new funding model the House had in its budget, which was largely based on enrollment. Critics say the House version created winners and losers among the state's colleges and universities. For example, while the University of Missouri system could have seen up to $20 million more dollars, Truman State University was facing a $27 million cut. Senator Brian Williams, a University City Democrat, said the state should be making sure that higher education institutions have adequate funding.
I know we have a challenging budget right now, but our workforce and educating the workforce of tomorrow is more important.
The budget bills must still go through the Senate and then back to the House. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new charter school in Columbia, Missouri, backed by St. Louis University, is set to open in the fall of 2027. But as STLPR's Hiba Ahmed reports, the decision by the Missouri State School Board yesterday faced sharp criticism from Columbia public school officials.
Frontier STEM Academy is the first charter school application to be approved by the state for Columbia, after a 2024 law allowed charter schools to expand into Boone County. This comes in the middle of a lawsuit from Columbia Public Schools. CPS called the law unconstitutional and aimed to block Frontier's application. State School Board member Pamela Westbrooks-Hodge was the only vote against the application.
Creating a completely new school and a high-performing school system seems financially irresponsible.
Frontier Schools operates charter schools in Kansas City and earned a 93% on the state performance report last year. Columbia Public Schools earned an 89%. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's been more than 6 weeks since Iranian-American Dorsa Darakshani has had any direct contact with her family in Iran. Iranian authorities cut communications access after the U.S. and Israel launched airstrikes in February. Darakshani is a Mizzou medical student, a St. Louis chess club instructor, and a U.S. citizen. She tells St. Louis On the Air host Elaine Cha that it's been difficult to carry on with everyday tasks and conversations.
I wish I had the words to describe it. It's just feels so unreal that we live in the same world. One of my high school friends had posted something on her story that somebody was like making a joke about, now that the Strait of Hormuz is closed, will we get our like Shane packages on time? And I don't know, just feels very unreal to have to explain to someone that, hey, I'm going through this. That is like, I'm not being directly attacked, like I'm physically okay, but I don't have the bandwidth to deal with the things that I'm supposed to be handling, because so much of my energy is going to just being okay.
What are your thoughts about, you know, the way that this war and its consequences are being discussed by people in the US?
There's a lot more layers and a lot more nuances that I think it's just so hard for people in US to understand. People can't comprehend the level of oppression that I experienced growing up in Iran and people continue to experience under the current Iranian regime. It hurts a little to see how people are trying to make it black and white. Like, I think the one thing we all agree on is we don't want innocent civilians to be hurt. But then it becomes like, okay, so some people think US attacking Iran equals evil. Some people think Iranian regime attacking its own people equals evil. And it's hard to have that discussion if you don't understand the fear of living under Iranian regime. So I have very mixed feelings about this, because again, I lived through it, I survived, I'm out. But for people in Iran who are living under the fear of, am I gonna die today from my government or am I gonna die today from a bomb? That I can't comprehend.
What is the one thing for us to be thinking about, especially given what you've expressed, about your chief concern, and that is for the people?
If you are talking about Iran and the current situation, just be open and understanding and just listen to what we have to say. Let us vent to you. Let us trauma dump on you. If you know someone who has Iranian relatives, check on them. Just make sure they're okay. Just be as compassionate as you can be, because a lot of us are currently feeling the way I'm feeling. Confusion, fear, uncertainty, just trying really, really hard to be okay. And it can be very triggering to see uneducated opinions that are hard to talk to. So just be open. Just be open, just be compassionate, and make us feel not alone in this time.
That was Iranian-American Dorsa Darakshani. She spoke with St. Louis on the Air's Elaine Cha last week from her home in Columbia, Missouri. That piece was produced by our Emily Woodbury. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.